Welcome to Season 3 of Bridge the Gap, a podcast dedicated to inform, educate, and influence the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, TIS Insurance, Morrison Living, NRC Health, One Day, Argentum, The Bridge Group Construction, and Salinity. Find out more about this podcast at btgvoice.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap, the Senior Living Podcast with Josh and Lucas. We're in Nashville, Tennessee on an amazing day at an amazing conference with NRC Health here at the Omni in Nashville downtown. Incredible energy and a lot of thought leadership going on. We've got Brian Wynn and Ryan Donahue on the show today. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, really glad that you all are here to join us for this. This is our big annual show.
Yeah, right. And our
so,
first.
Yeah, we're excited. We want all of our partners here and to experience a really positive energy. Right?
Incredible. And we've had a lot of great conversations already, and we've been welcomed. I mean, just we go to a lot of conferences, and we get to experience what it's like to go and get set up and meet people and talk with people. And your staff, I mean, you guys are putting on a really remarkable event here.
I can't believe it's our first one, and I'm excited about a lot more. Yeah, and I'll echo what Lucas said. Tons of shows and the staff, first class event. I'm actually really looking forward to learning more about what the show consists of. I think we're going to talk about that a little bit with you guys, right?
We want to talk about the goals and the high level view from what people can experience when they come to an event like this. Brian, we've had the fortune of having you on the show once. It's one of our highest downloaded shows, obviously because you're a super handsome guy.
Yeah, it's the beard.
This is a podcast.
I think it was because Steph, not you. But anyways, I digress. But we have not met Ryan before. So Ryan, why don't you tell us some of your background and your role at NRC?
Yeah, so today is my NRC Health anniversary.
Nice.
Of all days. And the symposium is a wonderful event. It's a third decade doing it. I have a great role. It's a fun job. So I help lead up our consumer insights. So we go out and ask people who are both patients or residents or not, what they think about healthcare, what drives their decisions, what they want when they do get into an actual experience. And we get to be in the middle of all that, and it's a little bit chaotic, but it's incredible the insights we can pull out. And we do that across the country. And so to be in the middle of all that is a great honor.
That's great. That's great.
Cool. And so I've got to unpack something really quickly that you just kind of skipped over, I think.
Sure.
Did you say third decade?
Yes.
So this has been going on a long time. This is our first, but you guys have been doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm. And before we even did it, there was the Picker Institute, which was really the original, let's care about the patient, patient-centered care. And through a partnership with NRC Health, we took that over about 20 years ago and have been doing this every year since. And it continues to get bigger and better. It's sold out this year. And so, this symposium's got a really rich history to it. And it's all been about, it's not about what we say, it's about what the patient, the resident, the person who's receiving care, it's about what they say.
So cool. Love that. So, Brian, tell us a little bit about your role here.
Well, my role here is to be an ambassador for making connections between really vision-driven, passionate people that are all about making sure that they understand what's most important to patients, those they serve, as well as providers, and what's important to them, and making connections with, I would say, like-minded individuals. And that's my role here. And I can tell you, it's a full dance card, you know, full slate. Everyone is so curious, inquisitive. They want to learn from each other, and couldn't imagine a better backdrop, better setting for it.
And a lot of high-level keynote speakers. You got Scott Hamilton, the famous Olympic skater, is going to be here at one of the sessions. And then you also have added a senior living track. Talk to us about that.
Yep. Well, I, if you don't mind.
Yes.
So last year we wanted to bring in a marketing and strategy track as well. So we have patient experience professionals, and that's been the legacy, right?
Right.
Ryan has spoke to it. 30-some years of that. And then we know that the customer journey, regardless of what part of healthcare you're a customer of, it begins well before you're actually receiving care, and it extends well past, right, especially for your loved ones, family, you know, well past the receipt of that care. And so marketing strategy, brand promise, commitment to the community, those things are very, very big. Want to make sure that they had an opportunity to learn from others, connect with like-minded professionals about how do we make sure that the brand promise we make is being fulfilled in the actual experience, mm-hmm. right? Regardless of care setting. And so senior care is a very natural extension of that. So how can we make sure that throughout the one's journey, one's life journey, that we know the most about them, what matters most to them? And so we have professionals from senior care, marketing strategy, patient experience, senior leaders, CEOs, all here learning together, which is great. And in some cases, maybe even meeting each other for the first time, sometimes even in the same organization, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, it's been fun for us because, you know, being in the senior living world, a lot of times we're just heavy in the conferences that we attend. It's only senior living. So here, there's like a rich diversity we've already noticed. Even some of our guests that have already been on the show earlier, it's like the other end of the spectrum, but we're seeing so many similarities, and that we're seeing these two ends of the spectrum kind of starting to all collide and talk about the same things that you guys are talking about. And it seems like NRC is really on the cutting edge of like leading the teams, engaging the teams around that kind of whole mission and purpose, right?
Right.
So really fascinating.
It's all about getting closer to those you serve, and that's really at the heart of it. We, NRC, we talk about human understanding, and that really just means getting closer to those that provide care, those that receive care, and those that perceive received care, right?
And part of the issue is that you think that all those things go together, but as you're finding as you come here, they can be disparate. And it wasn't until 2 years ago that we started adding other tracks to the patient track. And what we found in that process on the inside is that so many of these things are the same. A resident, a patient, whether it's inpatient, outpatient, senior living, urgent care, they all want convenience. They all want their expectations to be met. They want to be treated as a person. And so our goal is to be at the nexus of that and say, we're all humans. I mean, there's no other way. There's no classification within that. We're all humans and we all need healthcare. That unites us. And so to be able to unite people here physically is really exciting.
So talk to us a little bit about the format of symposium. We're kind of learning as we go here, day one, but this is a several day event. I learned, so you have a national event each year,
right?
But then you have these regional events. So talk to us a little bit about the difference in the two and what people will experience here and why they come here.
This is like the launching off point. And this particular moment is really exciting because the kickoff keynote is happening like right now.
So we're missing it, is what you're
telling
me.
We're missing it, but we can still feel the electricity in the air, right? It's coming out into the lobby.
Palpable energy.
It's in the hallways. And you remember those choose your own adventure books when you were a kid?
Right.
It's a little bit like that, not only at this event, because again, you can go down the marketing track, the senior living track. You can choose between those things if you're kind of in between those worlds, as a lot of us are. And then our regional events are something that we've continued to promote, where we can specialize either featuring a client or featuring an issue like consumerism, where we just hold court. And for an entire day, we tackle that issue from every angle possible. We're even doing these interactive workshops now that we've been a part of, where we go out there and there's no PowerPoint. It's 3 or 4 hours of let's talk about this. Let's talk about our issues. Let's brainstorm together. We don't have all the answers. You don't either. But together, we might come up with something. Right. And that's the idea behind our events.
I love it. And there's so many great thought leaders here, right, Lucas? I mean, we've already had several on our show.
Exactly. Well, and so I think this is also a good, to bring up your point, is you guys have also invited Bridge the Gap to be here to cover a lot of this because there's incredible thought leadership, but you've also been gracious. You've invited us to have our actual own, thought leadership course tomorrow that we're going to be speaking for nearly 2.5 hours. We've got a 3-part session on the senior living track. And it really does parlay with a lot of the things that you just said. To unpack a little bit of our talk tomorrow is we're going to be having a big discussion involving healthcare and senior living and the content that the podcast has curated to help funnel and fuel discussions here at the conference.
You know, one of the things that we've loved about the collaborative partnership with NRC is you guys have been not only open to, but encouraging us to help get people out of the box, to disrupt the thinking a little bit. So tomorrow, you know, I was asking, you know, is it okay that we're not doing a typical, you know, presentation. So a lot of people have experienced our mastermind dinners and things like that. So we're going to break it down into three sessions, really, over a couple of hours, have some fun, have people put their thinking hats on, literally, their rally caps with some trucker hats that we've brought. So it should be a lot
always
of fun.
A hit, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it's really exciting. And just here in the first day, we can already feel the energy. It's really cool.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Well, can I just say, thank you for being here. We value our partnership. This is such a unique opportunity to quite literally bring voice to a lot of the thought leaders in the industry that are trying to, forgive the pun, bridge the gap. Between say acute, post acute, senior living care, and all you have is a forum that is popular, listened to, respected, and so again, you know, to be a part of this event, we welcome it. Thank you for being a piece of it.
This
is going to be the lowest rated session of any of
absolutely
your
not absolutely not. Well, you know, it's been interesting as we you know, I guess 75, 76 episodes in coming into this show, we really have been discovering that our audience is broadening, and I think it's been encouraging to us to know how many people outside of senior living that want to know more about senior living. Maybe they're at the other end of the continuum, more on the true healthcare side, and they're wanting to know, to use your pun, bridge the gap of information, of culture, of collaboration. But it's also really cool. So, you know, we've got this growing audience of people that I think you guys with NRC Talent, you know, I see that all the time in the hashtag and things like that. I think some of the things that you're doing, some of the things that we're doing are a little bit out of the box, quite honestly, and it's attracting a whole new group of people to the space, to healthcare in general, to senior living that didn't even know that senior living was a thing or option. And so we're really excited about some of the cool stuff that you guys are doing there. I don't know if you guys want to talk about that. I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Isn't that one of the greatest, I would say, chasms that we have is and get cultivating great talent, right? So you have to attract it, retain it. It's loyalty just like anything else. We talk about loyalty in business all the time. Real loyalty to a company. Mm-hmm. How do you get loyalty to a space? And how do you continue to provide career track paths? How do you make sure that you're connecting to someone's purpose? Mm-hmm. That what you were just referring to, that NRC Talent hashtag, it's a whole bunch of really passionate young millennial folks, which we all don't understand. I know, I get it, but like,
it can be confusing.
They're really confusing.
That's what they say about us too, guys.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Right. What are we, by the way?
Yeah.
We're about the same age. Don't worry about it.
Let's
not go there.
Yeah. Let's not label ourselves.
But they run, they sprint towards purpose, right? The pedal for Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
Sprint towards that, right? If we have a community fundraiser, something where we can bring together community, like community is a rally point. So how can operators use that to, you know, rally their culture or develop a culture around something like that? Like how do we find that? I know it's just not the question that you asked, but it's on the mind, because I know talent is the issue for anyone that operates a business.
And a lot of that new talent has a huge hunger for purpose. And it's not the traditional, well, here's our mission, our vision, our values. They want to feel like they're the fabric of something that's moving in the right direction. I think that's a real challenge to operators.
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of our guests that has been with you guys as a partner for years was talking, and Lucas, don't let me butcher this because I can't say it as eloquently as she did and how you were kind of unpacking it for the audience. But she talked about how much of engaging the team, how their focus through the years has shifted from just engaging with the resident and being really focused on the resident / patient to being equally as focused, if not more focused, on the team engagement to build a sense of, to use your word, community within that team and the sense of purpose. Because once you capture that, it's amazing how much the resident and the patient experience and quality improves. And so she was talking about some of the engagement tools that you guys have used. And I think she even used the word she exploits you guys because it's such some awesome tools.
Well, one of the it's something that we don't want to be a secret, but we do a lot of workforce engagement. And we tie it back to our patient mission and the original dimensions of care, which was from Harvey Picker, which started this symposium. It's all connected. I've got a session tomorrow where we talk about workforce engagement because we have fatigue out there. We have people that are struggling in their mission within their own work. And we talk about things like you can't just throw money at people. You give people a 10% increase in salary creates a 1% increase in their own job satisfaction.
Wow.
So unless you want to give people a 1,000% raise, which we don't want to and can't afford, it's not the answer. It's so much more, I came into healthcare for a reason. I did this out of my spirit, not even as a person. How can I tap into that? And day in, day out, how can I continue to be refreshed? And I think that that's a real challenge in today's, I think millennials, as much as we can joke about it, they push us to be better in that sense, that how can we get beyond just the day-to-day, the tactics, the stuff that we can drown in really easily, and say, what are we really here for?
Yeah.
And I think leaders have to have an answer to that.
So, you know, we've talked about that a lot on the show and had several other guests because, again, not to make this a millennial discussion, but I think they get a really bad rap.
They do.
But I will say, I get a lot of opportunities to go into universities. We employ millennials and things like that. And yes, there's maybe some communication barriers. There's some things like that. You got to do things differently to communicate to and from. But I will say that from my just limited experience and some of the other folks that I'm hearing, they are some of the most mission-focused, mission-driven people that they're looking for something that gives them a greater sense of purpose rather than just a job, rather than just showing up. But I think oftentimes we do make it more of a wage discussion. So, I mean, is that kind of what you guys are hearing too, that we're kind of missing the boat on that a little bit?
Well, I think so. And to exemplify, we had a really great group of interns recently, about a dozen interns at NRC, and we make a big deal about them joining us and leaving us, you know, to go back to school, whatnot. We asked them to sort of self-identify what is going to motivate you, like what's going to make you lean in to what we do at NRC, and they bought into that right away. They, I mean, we're a company about understanding people, knowing people, helping people. Right. That it's not a hard sell. When we're thinking about how to incentivize these folks, I said, tell us, do you want some commission? Do you want a spiff? Do you want a trip? Whatever. And they came back to us and reproposed, we'd like a group to hit a number and the group to, you know, achieve and receive. Wow. And that's just a different way of thinking. Like old school guy like me, I'm like, give me my points, right? But you know, it's just a different way of thinking, listening. And so how do you extract that, right? How do you get to that without always having to go and ask and say, design your own compensation structure? Because that's not feasible in most scenarios.
Right. It's a challenge too, because yes, millennials are a huge part of the workforce, right? They'll be the largest generation here coming up, but you also have Gen Xers, you also have baby boomers. You have to, if you're a leader of an entire healthcare organization, you have to fit all those different molds and try to find ways to incentivize. And it's not a one size fits all. And I think that's been our approach to workforce engagement, is all of my employees are this monolithic group that if I do one thing, turn one lever, it should create results across that 100%. It's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
And so what our studies have done is try to dig in on that and say, how can you do this for this group, that for that, and not make them mad at each other in the process, not create some tribalism or conflict there. I do think in healthcare, one thing is that we do have that overarching mission of we're helping people, we're saving lives. In our consumer research, we'll study electronics, we'll study hospitality, we'll study all kinds of retail formats. Sometimes you go into the Apple store and you don't want to do your job that day and all you're doing is fixing broken iPhones. Well, we're fixing people. And so there's a mission there that's overarching that I think we should tap into more than we do. And I think that's a huge piece of what's happening inside our organizations with our own employees, who are easy to go about and sort of go over them and say, well, we've got to worry about the patient or the consumer. A lot of that starts on the inside of the house with the people in front of you.
Yeah, I love that. So we're talking a lot about the team, the personnel, the engagement. But, you know, one of the things, too, I don't want to chase a rabbit here too much, Lucas, so reel me in if you need to.
I got my eyes on you.
What's the enforcer?
But So, like, we talk a lot about changing the public perception, and I've seen some of the studies and, mm-hmm. and things that you guys have put out about, particularly around senior living division, mm-hmm. and then there's healthcare and senior living, and it seemed like, just looking at this graph, that senior living, the public perception and the trustworthiness of, like, how we're perceived at being trustworthy as an industry is so low.
It is.
And it's like on this, I wish our audience, we've got to find a way to put that graphic up that they've produced, mm-hmm. to where we're so low ranking that some organizations, even like government, right. was higher ranked than us.
Higher trust.
Yeah, higher trust. Yeah. And but yeah. they were very low ranked as well. But it looked like, so if, correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked like True Healthcare was higher up. So where do you think that disconnect is for our senior living audience?
I know the graph you're talking about, and it was in a white paper years ago. And so part of the issue from the research side of things is it's so hard to talk about senior living to the general public if they've not had a direct experience or had a loved one who has. Right. Sometimes we have to use the dreaded phrase nursing home. Mm. And when we okay. do that, people conjure up images that are not positive and trust just falls. However, when we say general healthcare or a doctor, a nurse, or a pharmacist, you generally see someone in a white coat. Maybe you're thinking of George Clooney on TV, whatever it might be, and so trust is higher. But with that low trust in nursing homes or senior living, when we go and talk to actual residents through our tools there, much, much higher. Once people have had a direct experience, that public perception is just uninitiated and uneducated. And so that's part of the challenge.
Wow. Okay. Education 101 right there. I chased my rabbit. I'm done with it, Lucas. I'm done.
Well, it's a part of our mission that you've uncovered here is that our part of our mission is to educate and inform and influence. And a part of that is changing the narrative. And we've had many thought leaders on that are a part of this effort, this overall effort to help inspire a new narrative and a new conversation about what senior living actually is.
Well, and later in the week, while we're here, we're actually having a meeting with a meeting of the minds, a little miniature mastermind that includes our partners here in NRC to actually figure out a strategy of how can we, with this platform that we've created with our audience, be a catalyst to help change that public perception, because we're firm believers that if people really knew the love stories, the awesome things that happen every day with the team engagement, with the resident engagement, and the engagement between the two, that's all that needs to be discovered, right? Mm. So
incredible. And the stories that are taking place, I was walking through a senior living community just a couple of weeks ago. I'm walking down the hallway with the executive director and the director of maintenance, and a wonderful woman comes by and just asks a very simple question. It was fun to engage with her on her way back to her room and her home. And when she walked away and left, the ED looked at me and said, she is 104 years old. She was one of the last people out of Normandy, and she got out on a rickshaw with her and her cohort there that was there to care for the wounded during that time place. And this is at just your everyday senior living community somewhere in the middle of Texas. And those stories are behind almost every door in these buildings that are that they live.
Isn't that probably the answer? And not to oversimplify things, but to publicize those stories, right? And you have to have a tool to get the story, and then you have to have a mechanism to publicize the story.
Absolutely.
And that's education. That's how you educate the masses, the public, care providers, whatever it might be, all of us that are all going to experience this one day. I mean, you know, hopefully. And
if we live that long.
Yeah, I mean, it's Nashville.
We're not aging very well. So.
But we're not dreading it because we know we have the inside scoop. Yes. And see, we can walk the halls. You can walk the halls by part of your job. But what's powerful in your podcast is this is a new pathway to people that aren't just hearing it firsthand. And it's powerful to get those stories out through a new runway of information. I mean, that's what I look at this as. That's why I always tell people, I wish the public could come to these events and see that these disparate parts of healthcare that are just driving them crazy and a source of frustration are together trying to get better, mm-hmm. trying to share these stories out. Because I think that's the power, and you guys are front and center.
You might be onto something. Well, maybe the public could, should come to these events.
Maybe they should.
Ryan is the new, Ryan is the new event planner for the general public to the next.
Well, and you
heard it here first.
I may not be qualified.
Breaking news.
Yeah. Well, you literally took the words. That was the genesis of us starting. We were sitting at a conference and saying, why in the world can there not be some mechanism to tap the public into the thought leadership, right, into the experience of what you and I, all of us, get to experience? And that was our whole why. I mean, it was, could be boiled down to that simple. A couple of guys that didn't even know how to start a podcast, and now here we are. And a big thanks to our partners that make all of this possible,
yep,
and actually educate us. So, I mean, it's been awesome from my standpoint to be able to, not just at the symposium, but to literally link arms and have these conversations all throughout the year to up our IQ, to get your human intelligence of what you're learning, and to be able to just then share that in conversation.
Huge. So, so powerful.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. We know your hands are full here at the conference. Y'all got a lot of responsibility, so thanks for taking time for us. All the beard game. I wish those listeners that don't get to see the two studly guys in the middle of me and Lucas right now, some good looking dudes. Thanks
for
joining
us. Power. And Brian, congratulations on your son. Got a full ride baseball scholarship to Texas A&M. Huge deal. Congratulations.
Taught him everything he knows.
Thank you very much. Yeah. A lot of catch in the front yard. A lot of catch. And now we can't play catch anymore. No. Throws it too hard.
Yeah, exactly. Scary. Yeah.
No, that's great. That's great.
Thank you.
We'll connect to you guys and connect to information about these events so that our listeners can know more about it. You guys are very engaging. You do well on social media and everything that you're putting out there, so you're easy to connect to. And thanks to our listeners for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
For a full library of episodes, merchandise, and the 2020 conference tour schedule, visit btgvoice.com. Join the conversation on social media by following @btgvoice, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode.